And if you would take a Bible, we're going to have kind of a unique reading of the scripture we're dealing with today. And let me remind you that Paul talks about calling to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And one of the exciting things that is happening in our church is that more and more people are beginning to recognize a sense of call on their life. And as a result of that, are wanting to explore opportunities to serve the Lord in their calling. And that's one of the things that's happening with Pam. And we recognize that she has a unique calling to minister to children, and we believe this seminar coming up is very important in helping, encouraging other children's workers. You know, we have over the years had a significant number of children workers that are very committed, and week after week caring for children in the nursery and junior church, Sunday school. And we're indebted to the Lord for raising these workers up. And it's a very important work. One of the most important things that anybody could do is lead a child to the Lord Jesus Christ when they're young, so they're spared a lot of heartache and heartbreak through the years and are saved. And it's very important for us to recognize the callings that are on different people in our lives. And I would encourage you in these days, because Paul, this was kind of a major theme for him. He was wanting the corrupt people at Corinth to live out the calling that God had put on their lives. And so it's very, very important for us. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. And let's get this next slide up. I don't know why it's not working. We're having problems technically here today. I'm sorry about that. That happens sometimes, you know. So we're going to have all the men stand up and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. I'm going to have you do that. So you get your Bible open, and we're going to have to use the Bibles that are in your seats, because some of you will have other translations and so on. So when we're reading together in unison, we want to make sure that we're all on the same page. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And then all of those that are ages 6 to 35 are going to stand up after the men have sat down, and they're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 to 25. And then after they're done, all the women are going to stand up and read 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. And when I say all the men, that includes all the young men, the boys that are here, as well as the older men. And the same with the women. We want the young girls and the teenagers and all the women. You're all included in that, okay? And then ages 6 to 35, that's going to be interesting to see how many stand up for that. Okay. Men, please, stand and read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. All right? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Thank you. Did I say that right? Yeah, 20. Okay, thanks, men. Now, all of those ages 6 to 35, would you please stand? Okay, this is going to be loud. All right. Let's read together. It's a great, great passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 to 25. Begin to read, please. Wait a minute. You don't mumble, okay? And be bold. Okay, let's do it again. Ready? 4. Amen. Thank you. That was well done. All right. All the women, please stand. And you get to read to the end of the chapter. So, starting at verse 26. Shall we read together? Women, please. Brothers. Amen. Thank you. It's a very powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And one of the key verses that we're kind of taking off on is that, let's read this together in unison. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I don't know why, but the study of this passage of Scripture for me this week has really moved me emotionally, and it has triggered memories in me relating to ministry experiences that I've had. And this whole idea of wisdom versus foolishness is very important. It's a theme in Scripture over and over again, particularly in the book of Proverbs. For instance, we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, right? We're also told that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the contrast between the wisdom that comes from having respect and honor and love for God, the fear of the Lord the beginning of all wisdom, is a very important truth for every one of us that's here today. And we either have to give in to that pursuit of learning and growing in our love for God and respect and honoring Him and worshiping the Creator, praising the Creator who is to be forever praised. Or we have to go the other way and give in to the foolishness of saying, you know, really, I'm going to live like there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. And if you were to take the time, and I'm not going to take the time today, but another sermon, if you were to launch a study on wisdom, some of the most significant truths about wisdom are given in the book of James, where he starts out in James 1:5 and he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives largely to all without finding fault. That is one of the greatest anchor truths in the Bible. Because is it not true that one of the greatest needs that we have in everyday life is wisdom? And we need the wisdom that is of God, is from God, the wisdom from heaven, help from above, over and over again. We're making major decisions. Young people, you know, you're making all kinds of decisions about what you're going to do in life or be in life or what you're going to study or where you're going to go to school and all of that. You know, children have all kinds of experiences where they have to have wisdom to know, how should I react to this? What should I think about this? You know, and then, of course, young and old alike, we find ourselves in the valley of decision over and over again. And to call out to God, the all-wise God, and be able to say, oh, God, would you give me your wisdom? And this is so important to us. James indicates, and something pretty significant. He says there are really four sources for wisdom. He says there's the wisdom that is from God, the wisdom from heaven. But he says there's also wisdom that comes from the devil, the world, and the flesh. And he indicates that if we get our wisdom from the devil, or the world, or the flesh, or the sinful nature, we're going to have a life of great chaos and disorder and division. But the heavenly wisdom is pure and peace-loving and impartial and full of good fruit. Well, I'm getting into that sermon, but I challenge you to read the statements that James makes about wisdom. Wisdom is very, very crucial and influential. But I want to get to this truth. And this is what we're going to just take a few minutes to think about. The message of the cross, is it foolishness or wise? And verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And when I read that, and I've been reading it over and over this week, it triggered in me a memory of a man that I had met in my first solo pastorate in Culver. His name was Bernard. And Bernard used to come to church, and he'd sit in the very back row. And he almost had a snarl on his face. I didn't know why that was, but he would sit there, and you could tell he was just critiquing everything that was going on. And particularly when it came to the preaching of the word and that, you could just see that he would scoff, or he would, you know, that's stupid. Actually, there came a time when I had a meeting with him, and I wanted to try to find out why he even came to church, because I sensed his critical spirit. I sensed that he was just making fun of us. And he said that to me. He said, you know, he says, I come to church to make fun of you people. And all this stupid talk about the cross. That's what he said to me. He said, it's just ridiculous, you know. Who would ever come up with a plan like that to save people? And that is the way that many people think about the cross. That's what Paul said here. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who we're perishing. Oh, that's okay. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many of you believe that about the message of the cross today? That it's the power of God for those that are being saved. It's a powerful message. It is a message with great power because it teaches us, it declares to us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. It teaches us that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sin. And that by believing on Him, you can be saved. It's a powerful, powerful message. I was struck again, and I've shared this story before. It's a true story of a woman in our congregation who wanted me to go and visit her brother, and his name was Dave. And he was in the hospital, and he just had a very painful marriage breakup, and he was just really sick. And she kept, every Sunday she would ask me, she said, well, will you go? And I did sincerely want to go, and it just didn't work out. And till a particular day, and I was in prayer in the morning, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, today's the day, you got to go, and you got to meet Dave, you got to visit Dave. So I went up to the hospital in Coburg, where he was there, and he had been there for about at least a week. And I went into the room, and there was another man in another bed, so two people in the room. And so I greeted Dave, I introduced myself, I'd never met him before, and I just got to know him a little bit. He told me his situation, and I said, Dave, have you ever heard the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world to save us, to save sinners? And he had been admitting that, you know, he had done a lot of things wrong, and he was really feeling bad about it. And I shared the message of the cross to Dave. And I said, more than that, it's the message of the one who died on the cross. We got to remember that, you know, when we sing the old rugged cross, you know, it's not the cross that we worship. It's the one who died on the cross, right? It's Jesus, the crucified one. And that's why Paul would go on to say that we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ crucified. By the way, children, I know through Kingdom, because I've heard children proclaim the message of the crucified one and what Jesus Christ has meant to them and how He has saved them. And it's powerful. Anybody, any child, no matter, or adult, any age, has a powerful, powerful message from God when they share about Jesus Christ crucified. And so I said to Dave, I said, you know, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you. He came to die for you, that you might be able to live for Him. And you know, we've got all this stuff going on. We see it every day that Satan comes to deceive us, if he can, to defeat us, if he can, and to destroy us, if he can. You need to believe that. The Bible tells us that. The thief, Jesus said, comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. That it might be full and meaningful. And it's a life that grows out of His death on the cross. That the provision that He made for abundant living is rooted in what He did in dying on the cross for us. And so I said to Dave, I said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to become your Savior and to forgive you of your sin and have new life in him. Oh, he said, I would. Yes, he would. I said, okay, well then, let's just pray this prayer. And as I did, I had been oblivious to the other man in the other bed. And he spoke up and he said, I want to too. And so both of those men prayed that day and asked Jesus into their hearts, their lives. Now, I guess I was a little foolish. I've done some foolish things in my life. I didn't take the time to get to know the name of the other man or to have any contact, even to follow up with him or anything. And so I continued to meet with Dave days past or later. But the beautiful thing about that story is that some 20 years later, I had a woman come up to me at Stainer Camp, and she said, you don't know me, but I got to know who you were through my father. I said, oh, why? What's that about? She said, well, my dad, she said, you maybe don't remember, but you led him into prayer to ask Jesus into his life. And my dad had been a struggling alcoholic and had been very hard on his wife and my sisters and I. When he came home, Jesus Christ changed his life and did something so wonderful that he led my mother, this is the daughter, and all of his girls to Jesus. And we've been serving in a missionary church as Sunday school teachers for I don't know how many years, she said. And she says, but our lives were dramatically changed. Because, you know, the reality is that the message of the cross for those who believe is salvation. It changes our lives. It's powerful. And notice what is said in verse 23, where Paul just says, well, in verse 22, Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God stronger than man's strength. You think of the message of the cross as foolishness? It could be there's some here that do. But I would challenge you to realize that as God works in your life and gives you revelation, that you will know this truth and this truth will set you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And over the years, I have found that God calls me back to this fundamental truth over and over again, is don't forget that we preach not ourselves, but Jesus crucified. There's something about it. Next Sunday, you know, we'll fellowship around the Lord's table. And what we're remembering is we're remembering Jesus. And we're remembering his death on the cross for us. Don't get over it. Don't get over it. Don't lose your passion and to make Jesus first love in your life. We need to be reminded of the fact that we love him because he first loved us. And how much did he love us? Well, he spread his arms out on the cross and died for us. And this is the message. That is the power of God in our lives. Let's pray. I'm going to have the Ambush song played right now as we're in a prayerful mode. Yeah, and reach out to the Lord and say, God, will you refresh me in my love for you, Lord Jesus? And will you ambush the enemy in his attempts to distract me from my love for Jesus? And even as this song is being played, take the time to say, Jesus, I'm coming back to you if you've gotten away from him. If you've become lukewarm, if you've kind of frozen in your walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, ambush. We pray.
Shield my way.
We're going to close service this morning by just having pop-up praise and prayer. I think it's appropriate for just to spend time as the body praising and thanking Jesus for what he's done for us and for the message of the cross. So just quickly, people, stand up in a loud voice. Offer up praise and thanks.